You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is I Need No Name, and today I am joined by Siler, and we are going to be talking about certain important topics related to Bayern Munich, mainly the Champions League, or at least our last Champions game, for quite a while, as it turns out. But before I get ahead of myself, hey, Siler, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing decent. Pretty slow weekend, but it is what it is. I'm excited for the podcast more than anything right now.
Fair enough. And to be honest, there's nothing much to be excited when it comes to Bayern Munich right now, because it feels like we are dropping points and losing to practically everyone. Somehow we didn't lose to Leipzig last week, but that little bit of momentum was snuffed out by Freiburg this Friday, which was actually a Saturday for those of us watching it in India. Imagine staying up till 3 a.m. to watch Bayern concede a last-minute goal to Freiburg in the way that we did. But that just makes me think, you know, Freiburg are pretty much in the same exact position in the Bundesliga table that Lazio are in the Serie A table. So, given what we know and given how the first leg went and everything else that has gone on since then, tell me, Salah, do you think that Bayern Munich stands a chance of progressing to the quarterfinals of the Champions League?
I think to say we stand a chance is fair, but is it likely? I don't think so. Lazio are far too disciplined defensively, and they've got far too much quality going forward to not close out this game. I feel like Tuchel still doesn't know what to do in situations like this, where his back's against the wall and he has to score more than one goal to win a game. So I don't see it happening.
If you had to put a number on it, what would you say Bayern's chances of advancing are?
About, I'd say 30 to 35%.
Yeah, honestly, I am in the same boat. Maybe mine would be a little bit lower. Mine would be maybe 25% or something like that. But like, we haven't counted Bayern Munich out, and you can't really count Bayern Munich out. But after the way that first leg went, and honestly, after all our recent results, I don't see how this team can come back and rally. There is no sign that the team is really ready to pull together and pull out a result, or at least any kind of reaction that could make us able to score more than one goal at the Allianz Arena. I think our best chance, honestly, is to maybe score once and then take it to penalties and then hope that we squeeze through that way. But tactically, or even just in terms of team morale, team cohesion, the form of some of our key players, I don't see where that little spark is going to come from that is going to let us win. Like previous Bayern Munich teams, when they went and had a bad day, you knew that the next game that they were going to play, they would come out swinging and they would demolish whatever opposition was in their way. It was almost a meme during the Flick era that you do not want to face Bayern Munich after a loss or a draw, because they tend to crush their opponents right after a big disappointment. We don't see that under Tuchel. We don't see the bounce back that we used to under previous Bayern Munich teams. And I'm not going to say much about the coach today, because I feel like the coaching situation has been discussed to death, and it feels like also the board itself is not going to budge on the Tuchel question. If there was a time to fire Tuchel, it was right after the first Lazio game. And the fact that they haven't done it yet pretty much means that they are ready to write off the season. So I can't talk much about the coach at this point. I just wanted to say that it is shocking to me that we are at this point of the season and we face the prospect of being eliminated by Lazio. Siler, what do you think it says about this team right now that we are in this position? Like, what is your takeaway of in terms of just our standing as a club and what we're doing right now?
I would say degradation. That's pretty much the only that's the primary word. The fact that we were pretty much on the brink of establishing a dynasty, really, if you look at it, because the team that won the Champions League 4 years ago, the starting 11 was all, 24, 25-year-olds. Of course, you had some exceptions in the form of Neuer, Müller, Thiago, and Lewandowski, but other than them, everyone was in their early 20s, if not even younger. Obviously, we had cases like Alphonso Davies, who was 19 at the time. It really looked like Bayern were gearing up for pretty much an entire decade of domination, and that's gone away. We're 4 years later, and we are worse than we were before the treble. And it's a damning indictment, not only of the coaching decisions and the board decisions, but also player morale and player mentality, because a lot of these players feel like they're playing as if they've already won something and they don't want to win anymore. It genuinely does feel like that at times. I think there's a big change that needs to happen. I think the board has changed enough, but I feel like, yeah, I mean, the coach, that's an obvious issue. We've discussed this to death, but the coach and the squad needs fresh faces more than anything.
I guess that is fair enough. Let's take a more short-term view of this. If you're Thomas Tuchel, what do you do? What do you see in Lazio that you can exploit as a weakness, something that Bayern Munich could do in terms of, I don't know, getting some kind of advantage? Because we saw in the first leg, we didn't really threaten their goal all that much. And that is, I think, the key problem with this team, that they don't really have an offensive plan. So, Tyler, I know you watch Serie A, and I know you watch Lazio a bit. So tell me, what do you see as their main weakness, something that we could actually do about them?
The problem with this game is that Thomas Tuchel refuses to use the center, and Lazio's weakest area right now is the center. In previous seasons, they had a midfield three of Luis Alberto, Lucas Leiva, and Sergej Milinkovic-Savic, which was, frankly, an insane midfield three. No mid-table team should be allowed to have a midfield of that quality, but they've lost two of those players. They only really have Luis Alberto, and as such, they've lost a lot of their control in the middle, and especially now because their number six, Nicolò Rovea, is out of this game. He's injured. I believe he has an injury in his pelvis bone or something like that. I'm not sure the exact injury, but Rovea is very important to their tempo, and he's very important as their deepest midfielder, and they're missing him. So there is a very clear hole in the center which could be exploited, but I don't see it happening because Tuchel's entire game plan relies around wing play. It just won't happen. But I think what Tuchel will try to do is try and target the wing backs because Manuel Lazzari and Adam Marušić are not wing backs by trade. Lazzari is more of a right winger, and Marušić, while he has played fullback quite a bit, he's more of a right back than a left back. But again, they're not big weaknesses that I see massive scope for exploitation, and definitely not more than the midfield three, which is pretty weak right now. I just don't see any way past through the wings, especially if we're going to try and create crossing opportunities, because their goalkeeper, Ivan Provedel, is one of the best in all of Europe. And he's come up with some insane performances in recent games. Even when Lazio have lost, the opposition team has had way higher XG than they scored because Ivan Provedel does just insane things when he's faced with these shot-stopping opportunities. So I don't see that game plan working at all.
I'm pretty much in the same boat as you. I realize that Tuchel really likes his wing play, and I get why he wants to do that kind of football at Bayern Munich because of the abundance of wide players we have and the talent we have on the wings. But the neglecting of the center is something that is a huge problem, and it's probably not going to get better because reports indicate, I don't know if you've seen these reports or not, but Matty Tell will probably continue to start against Lazio, and normally I would cheer that, but it also means that it's possible that if Leroy Sané is fit, he's going to come back into the lineup, and the most likely player to be benched is Thomas Muller. Now, I understand that Thomas Muller has not gotten any goals or assists in his recent appearances, but I don't think that's here or there. I think that against Lazio, he's a guy you need to start. But Tuchel probably doesn't agree. And these reports, when they've come out from especially publications like Bild, they have been very accurate in the past. So what do you think of that? What do you think about Leroy Sané coming back in, especially given that he has been injured and been working through this nondescript groin injury and also this knee injury? Like, would you start him versus Lazio? And on top of that, would you bench Thomas Muller?
I wouldn't start him against Lazio. No, I feel like it's a pretty simple matter, honestly. I think the 4-2-2 kind of works in getting Musiala and I guess Zane on the right, but more Thomas Muller on the right to get into the half spaces, which is exactly where we need to be with their lack of midfield to cover those areas. But yeah, no, Leroy Sané is an interesting one. If it was me, it would be up down to fitness, but I would play him over Thomas Muller.
Well, you know my opinion on Thomas Muller, so I guess we can leave that aside. What about the left back position? Because I think that's the only other position where there is any question of who will start. So what about that? Do you play Rafael Guerrero or do you play Alphonso Davies?
I would play Rafael Guerrero, but that's down to the way that I would like to play football, not the way Tuchel would like to play football. I'm pretty sure Tuchel will revert back to Davies now. And that's not exactly the best decision in terms of player form either, because I feel Guerrero is in better form right now. But I think Tuchel trusts Davies to get us over the line here, defensively at least.
That's interesting because I personally think that Davies would be the better option because he has been out for a while. And generally, when Davies has come back from injury, he has been pretty good. And also, Davies just is the kind of guy that could give this insipid attacking system from Tuchel a little bit of life. Guerrero, I like him. I think in a better system, he could flourish. And we know what he is capable of in better systems. But in this current system, there is really no, how should I say, there's no scope for him to influence the game to the extent that we want him to. What is his role right now? He gets behind and does overlaps and he occasionally puts a cross or a cut back in. Like, that's just such a waste. Instead, I would rather have someone like Davies with his pace. And that was also help with us defensively because, as we all know, Upamecano is suspended. And at the back, we could really use Davies's pace to keep things tidy. Not that we will keep things tidy, but we're just talking about theoretical concepts here because the way Bayern Munich will play is very much set in stone at this point. I think it is not going to. I don't expect to see something against Lazio that I haven't already seen in the last 9 months of Thomas Tuchel's tenure. I don't expect us to play radically different football. I'm just talking about very minor differences in what we could do and what we should do. Am I wrong about this? Am I wrong about Davies's potential impact?
I don't think you're wrong about it defensively. He does show more, but I also think he's a liability in build-up. And also, I feel like putting him in a 1v1 situation against Felipe Anderson is going to be a bad time for him because Felipe Anderson is the exact kind of player that Davies struggles against, the sort of the tricky winger rather than the winger who relies on pace. We've seen Davies have
Yeah,
excellent
against Di
one-on-ones
Maria and
against, you know,
Stabilo,
Ousmane
he
Dembele.
really, yeah, he struggled against
Yeah, he's
those types.
been
Yeah.
a more recent example, like Bernardo Silva in the City games. He got,
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to say this, but he got destroyed by Bernardo Silva over both legs. I just don't see him doing that well against Felipe Anderson either. And the problem is Lazio have those kind of wingers on both sides because Mattia Zaccagni is one of my favorite wingers to watch. He's so good. Yeah, I'll let you say
Well,
your piece.
doesn't really matter because we know that Kimmich is going to start and there is no other option, right? Well, I guess Konrad Laimer is theoretically an option, but would you start Laimer over Kimmich at right back?
Well, Mazraoui and Bowie have been spotted in team training, so I feel like one of them could start. For me, it would always be
No.
Mazraoui,
I mean, come on. Don't
but
have hope. That is my number one piece of advice to you. Do not have hope
yeah,
because this
no.
season has proved that there is no point in having hope.
It is going to be Kimmich at right back, but I
Yes.
think Mazraoui would be the best, especially against Zaccagni, who's a 1v1 expert. I think Mazraoui would handle him best, but it's not going to happen, unfortunately. I don't see Mazraoui even making the bench for that game.
Yeah, I guess not. And what about the midfield? I mean, pretty much everything that can be said about the midfield has been said. Do you bench Goretzka and put Laimer in?
I would, yes. That's not because I
Why?
don't believe in Goretzka. I think Goretzka is fantastic when he needs to be, but I feel like in Tuchel's system, he's just far too limited.
You know, that's interesting because I thought the way he played against Freiburg was better than what we've seen from him under Tuchel so far, because he played almost like, how would I describe it? Almost like a third striker. Like he was pretty much in the box, and Goretzka's a pretty tall and physical guy. He can possibly help Kane and Tell get chances if he's played in that role. And it's not like he's involved in the build-up much anyway. It's not like the midfield is involved in the build-up to begin with. So who cares about that, right? And Goretzka in and around the box, he's a pretty threatening player. He knows when to pass, where to shoot, and he has been responsible for clutch goals in the past. So I think him compared to Laimer, I would still start him, which is probably not what most of the fan base wants to hear, but I still think Goretzka has a role to play, and Tuchel is making, like, if he were at the beginning of his coaching tenure, I would say Tuchel is slowly starting to figure Goretzka out. But given that we are at the stage we're at, he's basically just made his peace and decided, okay, Goretzka, just do your thing. And Goretzka's, well, doing his thing.
Well, I think that would work in most games. I don't feel like the role that Goretzka's in Tuchel's system will work in bigger games, especially like this Lazio game, because Lazio are excellent at hitting teams on the counter. We've seen this in the last couple of games where against Torino and even against Fiorentina, they got goals on the break because the team's overcommitted. Same goes for Milan, where they generated quite a few chances getting away from Milan's defense after Milan sort of brought their entire lineup. And I think a big part of that is down to the fact that their midfields weren't able to handle it. And I think Goretzka, for as much as he does track back occasionally against counterattacks, I don't see his general sort of play style fitting as much as Konrad Laimer's would, because Konrad Laimer's intensity in the middle is pretty much unmatched in our squad. And I think we need that level for this game.
Interesting. So you'd be more wary of counterattacks than the potential of going without a goal. Personally, I feel like our biggest issue is the fact that we can't score. Like our goals against Freiburg, they were 110% individual brilliance. They came out of nowhere, and those goals normally don't happen. So I just don't see how we're gonna get that 1-0 deficit up. And I think it's unavoidable that we are going to be exposed on the counter versus Lazio, and at that point I'm just hoping and praying that Manuel Neuer has one of those days and he manages to stop whatever comes at his goal, because otherwise I think that other than going 110% offensive, gung ho, get two, three, four tall players at the box and just cross to them, without doing that I don't see how we are going to actually score against Lazio, because, like, as I've said before, the team just seems to lack ideas.
No, it is true. I think Tuchel still doesn't have a clear plan for the attack, and that is why I wouldn't mind Goretzka starting, because Goretzka's pure presence as a wild card in the final third does give us a lot more options and allows us to disrupt marking. But again, this was looking at it from the hypothetical of what if we had a coach who actually knew what he was doing, and fortunately,
What
we don't
if?
have that right now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, to be honest, because I swear Siler and I had a discussion before this we started recording that said we were not going to bash Tuchel too much in this part because we've said everything. But it feels like just you can't let it be unsaid what this guy has done to our club and to our team. Because when we drew Lazio, you can go back and listen to the podcast I think me and Schnitzel did. We said that we should go past Lazio 100 in 100% of cases. At the time, we did not see any chance that we would fail to get past Lazio. We were saying that, yeah, okay, we will face Man City or Real Madrid or et cetera, and we will lose to them. That is a problem for later. But we did not envision that we would be in such a situation against Lazio, and I think that just signifies a lot. And I don't know if you're ready for that conversation yet, because right now it's still it like talking about it right now feels still like a huge pile of hypotheticals, because we as long as we have a chance, I told you you shouldn't hope, but I still have hope that we're gonna get past Lazio, and I'm literally on call that day at the pediatrics department, but I've scheduled someone to replace me because I want to watch that game, and I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to stay up till 3 a.m. or whatever how long it takes for the game to end, knowing that I have to be in the hospital by 7, because I believe, despite everything that's happened, I still believe in the team, and I still believe, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that something can happen. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm puffing the hopium as well.
Yeah.
As much as I hate watching this team, I will continue to watch them week in, week out, hoping for a miracle, praying for a miracle at this point. It's unlikely, but there is always the smallest chance. Especially with Tuchel, there is always the smallest chance.
Yeah, I mean, like the Lazio, I mean, sorry, why did I say Lazio? The Leipzig win came out of nowhere. So, like, when you have players like Harry Kane on the squad, something can happen, right? It's just one goal. So, and football is that type of game. Something can always happen. Probably something won't happen, but you never know, right?
Yeah, pretty much that. That's the magic of football, is that the best laid plans are not always the ones that
Yeah.
work out.
Yeah, I swear, if this were cricket, for example, and Bayern were going up against Lazio in cricket with the recent form of the two teams, I would stay up for the game. I wouldn't even bother watching, to be honest, because cricket is not a game with that level of variance. But, let's keep talking about the lineup. There is only, I think, one last question left, which is very interesting because it says a lot about where the team is right now. Since Upamecano is suspended, Tuchel has three options for the center of the defense. We know that Kim Min-jae is almost certainly going to start. So that leaves one last option, which is Matthijs de Ligt or, well, Eric Dier. Who do you think Tuchel is going to start and who would you start? I think the question phrased that way,
I
well,
think you're setting me up for a
yeah,
rant here.
I'm
This is
setting you
exactly
up
what's
for the
happened.
question. Yeah.
No, I've been pretty vocal on Twitter about how much I dislike Tuchel's ideas about De Ligt. And I mean, the fact that De Ligt is considering leaving or was considering leaving prior to the announcement of Tuchel's dismissal, I mean, it broke me. It was genuinely a nightmare to see my favorite player join my favorite club, and within 2 years, he's considering leaving. That kind of thing genuinely does break me. But he seems to be a little more comfortable in Munich now with Tuchel's departure, and he's going to wait for the new coach. And if the new coach is any of Xabi Alonso, Zinedine Zidane, or Julian Nagelsmann, he will be happy because he plays right into the kind of football that all three of those coaches try to employ. I don't think Tuchel will play De Ligt, but if he does, then more power to him. I just don't see it happening, especially after last game where Dier was not horrible. I think Tuchel will take that as the bar for I can push my own thing here because it didn't work out horribly. So, yeah,
Yeah.
it's probably going to be a Dier Kim Min-jae partnership.
It's strange to me because both Kim and De Ligt came from Serie A. Wouldn't you just start the all Serie A defense against the Serie A team? Then again, this is probably the shallowest understanding of Serie A that I can provide right now. I have not watched the league in almost a year. The thing is, Dier has not been bad. I have to stress that. Like he had his moments, but pretty much all our defenders have had their moments this season. Like it's not been pretty. And I have nothing against him. And his recent contract extension announcement, I'm fine with it, Like as a fourth center back, he's pretty good. Like I can't really say that we could find a better fourth center back on the market. It's just that in a game against Lazio, I don't know. I'm conflicted because I know that the game is going to be something where we're gonna be pushing up a lot and it's genuinely a shame that Upamecano is suspended. I know everyone says that he is not cut out for big games and his recent showings in big games have been very questionable. But when we're going to be expected to push up and we're going to be expected to like attack and dominate possession and try and break down a park bus, Upamecano would have been invaluable here. And without him, I'm not sure if Eric Dier and Matthijs de Ligt are going to be suitable for that role, especially since both of them lack a lot of pace and Kim Min-jae is not that fast either. I'm just worried about what the defense is gonna end up doing against Lazio, especially since against Freiburg, they showed that they can't even clear a ball properly.
I don't know about Kim Min-jae now being fast. He's recorded a sprint faster than pretty much the entire Bayern squad minus Alphonso Davies this season.
I mean, that always happens with center backs. Remember Sul?
That is true. That is true. No, but Niklas Süle was a freak. He was a
Yeah,
physical
Niklas
freak.
Süle, he still is a freak, but in probably a different way right now. The thing is, Kim is fast. He
Fuck.
gets up to a pretty decent speed, but I think Upamecano is more explosive and is generally very good at a role which is, just chasing down loose deliveries and long balls, which is like probably I think what Lazio are gonna do. Like, tell me if I'm wrong, because they're probably gonna what I'm envisioning here is the classic. They're gonna come to Munich and sit back and try and just, find that one killer pass, which is not that hard against this current edition of Bayern Munich that doesn't press very hard. Just find that one killer pass to a striker and then, go down the pitch and score. Is that an accurate assessment of what you think they will do, or do you see something else?
It could change. It tends to change from game to game for Lazio. But yeah, this game is definitely going to be one of them games
One of them
where they sort
games,
of sit
yeah.
back. They're just going to
Have
let Romagnoli and Ghila clear it out, especially since they don't have a number six for this game.
you seen the news of the referee for the game?
I have, yes. And this is not going to be good.
Yeah, it's not gonna be good.
I remember a
The
large part of my
Villarreal
match
game.
observations article. Yeah, I did the match observations for that. And I remember I dedicated an entire section to the referee, so this is not a good time.
It's not. It's almost parody-esque. I don't know who could have been worse. Maybe Anthony Taylor, but like, oh God, it's looking bad, right? That's our entire assessment.
Sounds like a succinct way to put it together, yeah.
Yeah. So since it's looking bad, I guess Tuchel is gonna pull another rabbit out of his hat, and his luck is gonna come through, and we're gonna win. Is that a good way to predict what's gonna be the outcome of the game?
I mean, yeah, it feels like
Yeah, it feels
football
it, it
is,
feels like
it's
it
clueless.
almost feels just as likely as the other outcome, which is that we just go out with a whimper and this is our worst Champions League finish. It's definitely our worst Champions League performance since I started watching the team, to be honest. Because when we went out in the round of 16 in 2019, that was at least to Liverpool, and that Liverpool team was a juggernaut, and in my opinion, at least we went down fighting. We weren't that amazing, but you can't expect us to be that amazing when we had Muller and Kimmich suspended for that game. But in this case, oh man, it feels like we're not shown what we are capable of. And I think that's the most disappointing part.
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head there. I don't think I can name a worse season that we've had since I started watching either. But to be fair, I haven't had a season as a fan yet where Bayern have failed to win the Bundesliga. So this is a new experience for me.
Yeah, same here, to be
It's a
honest.
strange one.
Yeah. Like, I
Yeah.
started in 2012, and at the time, at least, I know the experience of Bayern not being reigning champions. I know what it's like to, like, not be sure about what the team is capable of, not be sure where Bayern stands in the theater of world football. But then we won the treble, and I've never really looked back. It's always been in my head that Bayern Munich is one of the best teams in the world. And this season has generally it's shaking my faith in that belief. Like, I'm no longer certain, and as every game goes by, I know that it's a lot of it's down to Tuchel, but I don't know how much of it anymore. I'm starting to the Twitter arguments are getting to me. I'm starting to doubt the players as well.
I feel like you're not wrong in doubting the players, but it does come down to the coaching
Yeah, and the
primarily,
coaching. Yeah.
because it is the coach's job to get the players on board,
On
and the
board,
players aren't on board.
motivated, and everything else. It's like, it's so weird that there are so many things that we could talk about one day, but those will have to be saved for a postseason announcement. I think, like, as of right now, we just have to talk about this game as it is, and we will probably have to talk about what Tuchel's future should be after this game. But I think we will leave that to the second half of our podcast, which will also include a discussion about Alphonso Davies and his future. So please stay tuned for that. We are going to be back right after this break.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And we are back. I hope the break was as enjoyable for you as it was for us, which is pretty significant because of how Zoom works. But I guess we have to talk about Tuchel a little bit now. And the main thing is that there are apparently discussions at Bayern Munich about whether it would be or whether it would make any sense to fire Tuchel if he were to lose Lazio, given the state of the season. Now, given that most of us think that we are not going to get past Lazio at this stage, you tell me, Siler, would you still fire Tuchel if he were to fail to get past Lazio, or would you just keep him till the end? Because at that point, which seems to be the board's reasoning, there is really not much of a point to keeping him because Bayern are out of every major competition and you'd basically just be getting a caretaker for what?
Like 3 months probably, but no, I would have him out the door as soon as the Lazio game ends. Like if I could, and this is just because I'm petty, I would Brazo Khan them. As soon as the final whistle blows, just go up to Tuchel and dismiss him. It's petty, it's horrible, but he has not been good for this club at all, and I feel like the level of arrogance that he's shown doesn't really deserve the respect of the board.
Well,
so I would dismiss him as soon as the final whistle goes.
It's funny you mentioned Brazo and Khan, because to do a real Brazo and Khan moment would be to sack him after he beats Lazio.
Yeah, actually, that would be far funnier. But and no, regardless of the Lazio game, I would dismiss him after it.
Yeah, obviously. Like, I mean, he is already dismissed, technically. He's just a dead man walking. He's here. Effectively, Tuchel is here in almost a caretaker role. He cannot, like, you can see it on his face in games. He just does not care. He just sits there watching the game almost like a spectator. And, well, like, what's the point, really? How has he not been sacked yet? The thing that gets me is that, personally, I think there is still a chance that Tuchel would not see out the whole season, even if he were to win against Lazio, because we are in March. And what happens in March? Well, we have an international break coming up, and that is when things start to get shaken up. So the problem is that reports indicate that Bayern Munich does not want to sack Tuchel because they do not see any viable interim candidates. Why an interim candidate and why not a final appointment? It's because Bayern Munich feels that they have a genuine chance at landing Xabi Alonso, and they do not want to jeopardize that by hiring someone else this summer. Sorry, not this summer. As in right now, as an interim or as a permanent hire. So I want to ask you what you make of that. Because to me, it seems like Bayern is sacrificing this season for the promise of having a potential Xabi-led new look Bayern Munich team come 2024-25. And I feel like that's a huge waste. But I want to ask you, what do you think about that?
You know what? It's better than sacrificing a Nagelsmann project for a Tuchel season. At least we've gone backwards on that, or reversed it on that. We're sacrificing the short term for the long term, which I think is, it pretty much is the Bayern way. It always has been. We've
has
never
it though?
Really, I would say from a business point of view, yes. I think that Bayern have always prioritized the long term over the short term. But regardless of whether the fans were behind it or not, I mean, look at the opening of the Allianz Arena back in the mid-2000s. Mid-2000s, was it? Yeah, mid-2000s. People were not very happy about the Allianz Arena at all, but you look at it as one of our biggest commercial and, you know, our biggest assets. Mine probably is our biggest asset. I can't think of anything that's bigger than the stadium. And it brings in a bunch of revenue for us. It's let us stay competitively viable. That those are the kinds of decisions that Bayern were experts at, and we need to get back into that kind of mindset. And I think sacrificing the short term to try and get back there is the way we should be, footballing-wise. But I do want to hear your thoughts on Xabi Alonso, because I don't think I've heard a lot about your reservations with him.
Well, I don't really have any reservations about Xabi Alonso. I have been advocating him from pretty much the beginning of when Tuchel started benching Muller. But I need to preface this by saying that pretty much every coach I advocate for, they end up being really, really bad. Because I advocated for Tuchel when Nagelsmann was in charge. I advocated for Nagelsmann when he was going to take over for Flick. I thought he was the best candidate. And before that, I was very much pro Ancelotti when he was announced to be the successor to Pep. So my track record in predicting how coaches will go is very poor. In fact, I would say almost that me being in favor of a coach taking over us, well, that's almost a red flag at this point. Like, I am genuinely not sure because it feels like whenever a coach takes over, there's a coin flip as to what they will actually do. There is no consistency. You cannot look at prior track record. It just feels like Bayern Munich is such a different beast that it's hard to say which coaches will really succeed and which coaches will fail. You can obviously say that someone like Jupp Heynckes, if he were to take over now, I'm sure he would do a good job. Because come on, Jupp Heynckes, he's Jupp Heynckes, he commands a lot of respect, and there's nothing about Heynckes' tactics that would be out of place in today's football. But someone else, say for example, Zidane, who is extremely successful in terms of trophies won, but maybe not in terms of, I don't know, tactical acumen or a reputation for being someone who is mastermind in terms of setting his teams up. I don't know. I don't know if that would be some kind of a right hire. Same thing goes for maybe bringing back Flick or Nagelsmann. I don't know what those moves would be. So I understand the board's, what should I say, the board's decision to go all in on Xabi Alonso and just let this nightmare of a season fester in the annals of history. But I, as someone who in the present day is having to watch Bayern Munich suffer like this, it feels really bad and it feels almost despair-inducing knowing that it's not going to get better. There is no hope of it getting better while Tuchel is in charge. And I'm also worried in the sense that Xabi Alonso, he's going to win the league with Leverkusen, and that's an incredible achievement. He has them playing incredible, incredible football, and he seems like the real deal. And Bayern have been after him since forever. Like, literally, when he first got his coaching badges, Bayern wanted him to coach our youth team, and then we literally wanted him, like, to coach Bayern too. And it just never came up for us, but we have been in contact with him, and we've wanted him forever. So it seems like this has been a long time coming. As a former Bayern player, Xabi knows the culture. He knows what is expected of him. He seems to have a genuine winning mentality, which he's somehow managed to convert Leverkusen into genuine title challengers. Not title challengers. At this point, we can call them title winners elect. So he seems to have everything he needs, but seeming to have everything you need has never been enough for a Bayern Munich coach, and that is what worries me. I don't know if at this stage we can afford another Tuchel.
But I don't think Tuchel had everything we needed. I think if you look at the managers we've had over the last 10 years, it's actually pretty predictable to see which managers worked out and which ones didn't, because the ones that didn't are simply coaches that do not fit the Bayern way of playing football, right? We look at the three quote-unquote bad coaches we've had in the last decade. You have Niko Kovac, Thomas Tuchel, and Carlo Ancelotti. All three of them play football that does not gel with Bayern's philosophy. Carlo Ancelotti is far too indisciplined tactically. Niko Kovac played a counter-attacking haram ball sort of. It was bad football basically. And Thomas Tuchel very much falls into the same category. But Xabi Alonso is the opposite of that. I think Xabi Alonso plays the most structured and Bayern-like football of anyone, maybe minus Jupp Heynckes. But other than Jupp Heynckes, he is the best mold of manager for Bayern Munich tactically that we have had in the last decade, 2 decades, maybe even longer. I'm not familiar with managerial history beyond like Hitzfeld, but let's say since Hitzfeld then. But I want to ask who else you think could even possibly take on the job if you feel like Xabi might not work out.
Well, there's always Flick, right? And I still think that Flick could do a job at Bayern because all the tools, like just looking at the players present and the profiles, other than needing to bolster the midfield with some new talent, because I genuinely think that our midfield is too thin and lacking too much quality. Other than that, there is everything that Flick needs to make this team a success. There are players who are capable of pressing, there are hardworking players, there are ball playing center backs. There are guys like De Ligt who would be perfect in a Flick system. Like, imagine if we had De Ligt back in 2020, you know, when we were having to struggle through with Boateng and Alaba. Just imagine if we had someone like De Ligt on that team. That would have been amazing. And same thing goes for Upamecano, really. Regardless of his mistakes, like, he is a great player for a system that Flick uses. So I don't see why people are so reluctant to give Hansi Flick another chance, given that he won a sixth Super. Like, come on. He failed with Germany, but as we are seeing with Julian Nagelsmann, Germany's problems go far beyond, well, whatever the hell happened with Hansi Flick at the World Cup and later on in other games. I just think that, well, Flick should be given another shot, and honestly, he should have been called weeks ago. Because if he had been, I think we would not be writing off the season. I think we would still be in with a shot at least two titles. But that's just me. That's something that people are not going to agree with. The other option I would say, which has been put in the media recently, is Sebastian Hoeneß. I think he's a good coach. I think he would fit Bayern Munich, and I think he would be surprisingly good. But surprisingly good is probably not good enough in terms of what we need right now. And on top of that, I'm going to say that I think the nepotism angle with Sebastian Hoeneß and being the nephew of Uli would be very icky, and I do not want Bayern Munich embroiled in that sort of thing. You know, we have enough FC Hollywood as it is, and we do not want that to develop into a whole thing, because you just remember what happened with Nagelsmann deciding to date a Bild reporter, how that became a factor in the sacking, and just the craziest things seem to happen at this club. It's never a dull moment. So I do not want that factor being overblown if Sebastian Hoeneß were to take over. As for other coaches, I know that people are very much in favor of Zidane, but I keep saying this: Real Madrid fans love Zidane because of what he achieved with them, but even they call him a tactical banana. So why the hell would we get him? The thing is that Zidane, it's interesting that reports indicate that he would be very much open to a Bayern Munich job if we were to call him, which is interesting because Zidane is the type of guy who he doesn't even like look at a job unless they wine and dine him for a long time. And he's pretty much turned down every offer he's ever gotten ever since Real Madrid left him. So the fact that he's genuinely looking at Bayern as potential destination, to me, says that Bayern Munich, in terms of coaching destinations, is still a premium, high-level destination that any coach would jump at the chance to come to. And I do not think that if we really try, we would have any trouble securing a replacement at this moment, no matter who it is. I think the idea that people keep pushing in our comment section, that who the hell would want to coach a squad like this that always turns on its coach, is ill-founded, and I think that almost any coach in the world would be happy to coach Bayern Munich, so that's not a factor for me. The problem is that there are not many names right now that I can say definitively that should come in and coach Bayern Munich, other than Jupp Heynckes, Flick, who are both, you know, known quantities, and Sebastian Hoeneß, who is risky. I don't see what is a way forward here.
I had a sort of a revelation while you were talking about your candidates. So while you were talking about Sebastian Hoeneß and Zinedine Zidane, I kept thinking, there's a perfect coach there somewhere. You just need to combine the personality matrix of Zinedine Zidane with the sort of the fundamentals that Sebastian Hoeneß does correctly. And I mean, one of the names that popped out was, of course, Xabi Alonso, but another name popped out, and I hate the fact that I'm liking this decision. And I hate the fact that I would not mind if it would happen, but I know the fan base would combust, and that is Xavi.
No,
That's about the reaction I expected. That is
Tyler, no,
the reaction I
Siler,
expected.
Siler, 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 no. You can't say
Let
these
me
things.
cook.
You can't say these things. You cannot say these things. I'm promising you, you cannot say these things. This is
Look,
not allowed.
I have certain problems with Xabi's systems. Most of them rely on the fact that he tends to be very specific about what profiles he wants, and sometimes he tries to mold the system to fit the profiles rather than molding the profiles to fit the system. But I think when he has a board that consists of people like Max Eberl and Christoph Freund, they'll be able to get ideas through to him that he should first have a system in mind and then get the players for it. And if you actually want to look at the system that he employs, the only real weakness is the fact that his defenders are sometimes positionally off. And a lot of that is down to the fact that he expects a lot of athleticism from them, which they sometimes can't give him for a full 90. But at Bayern Munich, he has one of the most athletic defenses in the world. So I'm not sure those weaknesses would be as exploitable as they are at Barcelona, even if you disregard the fact that Bayern just has a far better squad than Barcelona right now. And
What
he's
makes
better at
you
working with
think?
youngsters than you are.
Well, what makes you think that the board will sit down with Xavi and tell him you need to fit the system to the players when they never did that with Tuchel?
No, I mean he sh whoa, wait. Oh, so you're talking about, okay, no, sorry, I misunderstood what you said for a second. I think the board, as it was, wouldn't have, but I think Max Eberl definitely has an idea, sporting wise, of how this is meant to go, and he's shown a reluctance to, or rather a tendency towards talking to his managers directly about systems and then working the transfers into that system rather than going out for just whatever the manager wants. So I feel like that sort of conversation on both sides would be very helpful, especially for Xavi, where at Barcelona it's very political and there's a lot of factors, especially financial. I mean, I really don't see how you can have a clear head there transfer wise, but at Bayern it's very different. And I think Xavi would bring the right sort of ideas, but I don't know about him as a coach. That's the thing. He seems to
I
fit,
mean,
but he seems to fit.
isn't that the major problem, right? Like we can't afford to take that risk. And
Yeah, that's the problem.
if you're taking risks, at that point I would have Thomas Muller fast track his coaching budgets over the summer and just give him the job. Or
Here's
just
the
give
thing.
him the job now.
I think Muller would do better than Xavi.
Yeah. I
But
mean he's already
the
doing
Muller would,
half the job already, I feel
yeah,
like.
I think Muller would do better than most coaches, honestly. But he's a player right now. We can't really afford to have him as a player manager at a top club because that's far too much work for one person.
Well, it would be funny.
It would be very funny. I would love
It
it.
would be especially funny if Muller, being the player manager, decides to bench himself. Then I would be very conflicted as a member of the Muller Mafia. I would be like, what do I think of this? Am I Muller in? Am I Muller out? What does it mean? And given what I've seen so far, I think Muller is might actually be the type of coach to bench Thomas Muller. I'm starting
Oh,
to
he
think
would.
that. I'm really starting to think that because he would bench Thomas Muller. Which
I think
makes no sense, right? But
it doesn't, but I think
it but
he,
if you feel it.
yeah, no, it feels like it would definitely happen. I feel like he's the kind of person who would spot the kind of Thomas Muller-like player, and he'd sort of push them, but also challenge them. And I feel like part of that is challenging himself.
What about Van Hal?
No, just no.
Interesting.
He's almost Thomas Tuchel-like, which is very ironic because they're both coaches who have had their dismissal announced prior
And
to
Van
the end of
Gaal
the season, but.
basically started this edition of Bayern, right? Like his fingerprints are
Yeah,
all
the four
over
two three
us.
one.
But he doesn't feel like the right hire at the moment. The other guy that we keep hearing is Mourinho. And you know that Marcus is very much in favor of Mourinho. Oh boy.
No, I've had arguments with him about this. I feel like Mourinho is just the idiosyncrasies of Tuchel turned up to 11, and then he's just better tactically. That's it. But even then, his tactical style does not fit Bayern, so I don't think he's a good option.
It might work for like a month or something, you know, because he comes in and he has a lot of energy and he has a lot of good energy and he can like get through, I think, to some of these players. But like, is that it? Maybe as a caretaker, I'm starting to come around to the idea of Mourinho as a caretaker, but that's all. That is it. Not as a permanent coach.
I don't think Mourinho would take that job on, though. I feel like Mourinho is far too principled in his ways. I think he'll wait until he can get a job that he feels comfortable in rather than just a caretaker job. And
I
more
don't
power
know.
to him.
I don't
I
know.
honestly, I feel
Bayern,
like that's the right
the
way.
Bayern knock. Like, if we were to say, for example, we were to beat Lazio, okay, and we still have a shot at winning the Champions League, then I think maybe Mourinho would be open to a job like that. If he wouldn't be open, in my opinion, to just a caretaker role leading out the season because that's not his work. But if there were trophies left to win, potentially even, I think he might take that job.
If he would, I would give it to him. No questions asked. Until the end of the season, that's it. But I don't see him as a long-term option at all.
Yeah, not an offer. Look, I'm not. We are not at the point where Mourinho is this genuine long-term option for Bayern Munich. It's not that bad. It's really not that bad. And I think the last coach top coach I can think of who is without a job right now is Antonio Conte. And Conte, I think he's tactically fine, but he doesn't suit Bayern Munich. It would not work for us. He would
Yeah,
probably
he
win. He would.
wouldn't.
He'd win the Bundesliga, I think. He would win the Bundesliga with Bayern, but that's it. That would be his ceiling.
Speaking of Antonio Conte, actually, there is another option.
There
There
is
is his successor at Internazionale, Simone Inzaghi.
Inzaghi. Now that's an interesting
Yeah.
option. That is interesting.
And with Inter's financial situation as well, it could be possible to lowball a fee and somehow get him. I think he would be perfect. And if he can bring Hakan Çalhanoğlu along with him, I would be delighted.
Çalhanoğlu, I don't rate Çalhanoğlu that highly, to be honest. I
I think
really
he's
don't.
among the best holding midfielders in the world.
I think he's extremely. He's not that good. Like he's de
I.
deceptively. He's deceptive. Okay, he's good at Inter, but like, how should I say? I can't articulate why I don't like him. I might have to type this in a comment somewhere. So if someone asks me in the comment section of this podcast why I don't like Çalhanoğlu, I'll be able to answer there. Oh, and you mentioning Inzaghi reminded me we have also been linked to Roberto Di Zerbi of Brighton.
Big yes on my end, but I want to say Çalhanoğlu this season for me has been top 10 players in the world, no questions asked. His adaptation into a role as the deepest midfielder rather than attacking one has been fantastic. He's literally the reason Inter are doing what they do. I think he's almost playing like Kimmich, and I feel like he could do that job better than Kimmich, and then we have Kimmich go further up the field as an advanced eight. I think that would work. The only question I would have is our centre backs. We would need to sign at least one more, if not two more, centre backs to fit Inzaghi's system.
Yeah, I do not want that type of system in our club, to be honest. But
Yeah, I
that's
know you don't want a
probably
back three.
that's probably another discussion for yet another day. Roberto Di Zerbi, I'm in favor, but I also see the strange parallels between us and Chelsea, where we fire Thomas Tuchel and then immediately sign Brighton's coach. That feels very strange to me, and I do not want to do anything paralleling Chelsea, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, we've already done that actually.
Let's
We
not
had
keep
we had a
digging that
season.
hole. Let's
We had a season where we fired our manager halfway, hired a German who had never had a top level job before, and then we won the Champions League. So it's possible.
listen. When you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is you stop digging. And I really want Bayern Munich to stop digging right now.
I don't think De Zerbi is digging further into hole. I think De Zerbi would be the perfect man to bring us out of it.
I
I think
don't know if
his
Deserby
systems
would
are perfect.
be. I system's perfectly fine, but we know that it's more than that at Bayern Munich, right? And that's the
That's the
problem.
thing. I think that's the Sebastian Hoeneß problem again. Not, I mean,
Yeah.
Sebastian Hoeneß has his own set of issues with the nepotism, but I feel like you need a certain level of personality to be
Yeah,
able to command the dressing room.
because if it was just a tactical thing, then you could literally say about there are so many tactical coaches out there who could be options, but like it's also assess the thing is that you need also need to fit the personality and the philosophy of the club, and we saw with Tuchel what happens when you don't fit that. And in fact, as we're talking about this, there is one more factor in the coaching search that we have not mentioned, which is the fact that Bayern Munich, the bosses feel that if we keep Tuchel to the end of the season, there is genuine concern about contract extensions and what might happen with those because some players are getting so alienated they might decide to leave. I know some players are definitely considering an exit given how they've been treated this season. Guys like Leon Goretzka, sorry, not Thomas Muller, Joshua Kimmich, Leon Goretzka, and possibly even others like Mesut Özil, etc., etc. But we can probably convince them. One player I don't think we can convince anymore is Alphonso Davies. I think it's it. I think he's gone. And I just want to ask, why did it come to this?
I am vexed by that because it always felt like, I mean, when he burst onto the scene, even as a 20, 21-year-old, I always felt like we wouldn't get the best out of him because he literally just had too much time on his hands. I feel like his peak will probably come when he's 25, 26, maybe 27. And I never felt like I would see Davies at Bayern 8 years from now, back then. It didn't feel like it would be where he still is. So this just felt like inevitability to me. I don't really see us keeping him, even if he extends this contract. I feel like it'll be his last contract at Bayern. But I want to hear your thoughts on this because you were very active in the community when he first came out.
Yeah. Well, I was always pro Davies ever since he literally made his move from the Vancouver Whitecaps. I was extremely excited by this young winger who is coming from an unknown league. Okay, MLS is not unknown, but no one in my circles watches MLS. So to me, it's an unknown league. And well, I was when he first started making an impact in Germany, I was just elated. Do you know that I was in the stadium when Davies scored his debut goal for Bayern Munich against Mainz? I was in the stadium when that happened. And that's an amazing
I
memory for
did
me.
not know that.
Yes, that was an amazing memory for me. It was literally the game after we lost to Liverpool, and I just happened to have tickets to the next game against Mainz. And I was so glad that I got tickets for that because it was so special. To watch him leave now is disappointing to me because I feel like we could have done so much more to keep him. We know that, like, I don't think that leaving here was an inevitability. I know that Madrid have long been after him, but Davies always seemed like the kind of guy that if he were given a proper perspective by Bayern Munich, he would stay. And I don't think he has been given that. And recent overtures by his agent and the demands made by him seem to indicate that it's not really necessarily about the contract and the pay, but rather about the state of the club and how he and certain players around him and how the squad itself is being treated. That is why we are about to lose Alphonso Davies. There have been consistent reports since literally last year that Brazo had agreed a 12 million a year contract extension with Alphonso Davies, and the only reason it didn't go through was because he was sacked, and then Bayern Munich literally held off on talks with Davies' agent, and that's when everything turned sour. Since then, Davies' agent comes back with increasingly higher offers, and Bayern, for whatever reason, seems to be reluctant to pay one of their most talented and most marketable athletes the kind of money he probably deserves. I don't understand this. I don't understand how it got to this point. And honestly, it feels like if we had agreed to something like, say, 15 million a year, which is above the 12 million that Brazo agreed, something like 15 million a year somewhere in the middle of last year, then we wouldn't have gotten to the point where it's late now. Davies' agent has even more leverage and they can ask for 20 million a year. It's another case of the board just dragging their heels and just not realizing the situation that they are in. It is the same pretty much. It's almost like the contract extension version of keeping Thomas Tuchel to the end of the season. It's just a delay for the sake of it, and it has brought us so much grief. Losing Davies right now is very difficult, not just because of the fact that there is no real player that is the same age as him at the same talent level that we can easily buy to replace him, but also because he was a face of Bayern Munich at this point. People talk about Alphonso Davies a lot, and he was one of our top-selling jerseys. So it feels like a massive fumble by the board that they didn't get this incredibly important player locked up, and instead, in fact, decided to question his performances, especially given the fact that our wage bill, while high, is not actually that high compared to our revenue. It's a very good wage-to-revenue ratio. We have a very large amount of leeway on that front, and also the fact that there are certain players like Serge Gnabry, for example, who are on massively inflated wages, and they should be the first ones to be cut rather than someone like Alphonso Davies, who is asking for a salary which may not necessarily be deserved with his on-field performances recently, but is definitely deserved in terms of if you think about his potential as a player when he turns 25, 26, and also in terms of what options are available to replace him on the market, and also in terms of like his marketability and commercial aspect of such a deal. It's just a failure on all of those fronts.
Yeah, no, I feel like you've pretty much nailed the head on that. I don't really know how I can follow that up. That is, yeah, I mean, it's a massive missed opportunity. I mean, you have a star who's marketable, not just in general, but in North America, which is extremely rare. There's only about like what, two, three players that can do that. And we're letting him go for probably, I feel like he's gonna go for like 40 million at this point.
Yeah,
That's a
it's almost
disappointingly low
inevitable.
figure.
Like, if Davies were to be sold, I would have at least wanted to get 100 million for him. Like, that's a good number. We can use that to replace him. But like a genuine Davies replacement, according to reports, we are looking at Theo Hernandez from Milan. And well, I think Theo Hernandez can do the job. I think he's great. And in terms of recent performances, he's definitely better than Davies. But like, that's not the point. The point is that he's gonna be so expensive that it would actually cost us more if you include wages in the transfer fee. That it would actually be more expensive to bring someone like him in than it would be to extend Davies, even on a highly inflated contract. I do not see how the board didn't see this coming. And I also do not see how they let the situation fester until, first of all, Christoph Freund took over, and then Christoph Freund lets the situation lie until Max Eberl takes over. Did we really need to wait all the way until Max Eberl's takeover for this to happen? Like, what the hell are Uli and Rummenigge doing? What is going on? And are these the people who are going to be deciding the future of Bayern Munich come the summer when they search for a coach? It does fill me with a lot of confidence in terms of what decisions they're going to make. Like this situation, the Tuchel situation, all the other stuff surrounding transfers, contracts, etc., etc. It's just it fills me with a lot of dread for the future of this club.
Yeah, it's a pretty bleak note to end on, but I feel
Yeah.
like there is no way to spin this into anything that's going to be positive.
Positive, yeah. Let's just hope that maybe we win against Lazio and hope that the season stays alive. Because if it ends there, I think a lot of people are gonna tune out of this season. I think it's gonna end the season for a lot of people, which is a shame. I guess we ended there. And this was I Need a Name and Siler previewing Lazio on a very depressing note. And well, thank you for listening. We appreciate all your support. You can find us on Twitter at Bavarian Epi Works. We also have a new podcast Twitter account, which I have forgotten the at of, but if you check Bavarian Epi Works, you will find us there. And we are also personally on Twitter. I have forgotten all our personal handles, so just check the note on the podcast.
Do you
Please
want
check
me to
out our
shoot him?
blog. No, please don't bother.
Yeah,
And check out our blog and check out our blog post, which accompanies the podcast, because that's where a lot of our discussion happens. And you can personally ask me any questions and ask Tyler, and we will respond in the comment section of those podcasts. We love hearing from you and we love feedback on what we're doing. So thank you for listening. We really hope that Bayern Munich gets out of this funk, because remember, we, despite all the bleakness, we are Bayern Munich fans and we're just depressed about what is going on with the club. So yeah, thank you for listening and good night.
with threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.